Welcome to the 40K Lorecast.
Welcome to the 40K Lorecast. It's me, John Barsotti, and Brad Chester.
This guy.
I have to edit that out. On today's cast, we're going to dive further into the ad mech. Today, we're going to focus more on them like post-heresy, where they are now, how they got there, and some of their really fun little nightmares that they're committing on a daily basis.
Living nightmares.
Just a horrifying group of people. Before we begin, massive thank you to all of you for the likes and the comments. Please keep it up. We had a nice little bump there where we're actually in the top 100 podcasts of all podcasts.
Cough, 31. Countries.
Yeah, I mean, this is nuts. And this is, some of these countries, English isn't their first language. So we have nothing but a thank you to all of you for doing this. It really does help us out. And we get to laugh as we get ranked above people that we have no business being ranked above.
At all.
Yeah, and I just dream that they
I mean, we're dreaming that they ask us to be on their podcast.
Oh, that's because you actually have goals for yourself. My dream in life is more, I just want them firing some product manager who's just like, how is the Warhammer 40 cast also, above
who
us?
Who are they?
Yeah. Because we're ahead of casts right now that have producers.
Yeah, you're like, what kind of studio are they operating out of?
Yeah, it's like, oof. It does involve wine and Brad sitting in my desk chair.
You put it down though. Look at
I did. Yeah, you can touch the ground again.
Yeah.
That's funny. With that note though, thank you all. If you do like the cast and you're enjoying it, please also join our Discord. Massive shout out to Kevin. We recently had his name's Kevin. I'm not going to give his last name out of courtesy to him.
Savage Doc.
Yeah, Savage Doc came through and helped us redo our Discord. So we've had this Discord forever. It was free before. It's still free now.
It looks cooler.
It actually is organized now. We're over 2,000 members, actually 2,100 members at time of recording. It is much better organized now. It's way cleaner. So for those of you who maybe don't know what we're talking about, we have a Discord for this cast that we made. Discord is a really great website that allows for people to interact and talk with each other. If you're interested in Warhammer gaming, Warhammer lore, Warhammer literature, painting, hobbying, we have all of that in there.
Getting started in 40K?
Yeah, getting started in 40K, completely free. Come join, and thanks to Kevin, it's actually clean and organized before. I personally really like Discord. I use Reddit for a lot of things, but Discord's a much better conversation location. It's why it's called Discord. Because there's no upvotes and downvotes. You're just in there. It's a community. So it's a great place for anyone looking for just a place to interact around Warhammer lore. We're trying to build this thing out as a really great place for all of you.
It's a community. We want to be a community. We want to be a positive community. We want people to come in and have a good time.
Yeah. And it's also meant to be a community, not Brad and me in there. Like, you'll see we are in there, we are interacting, but you're going to get more interaction from the other members because that's the goal of this community. So basically, for all of you who are already there, thank you. For all of you who are about to join, welcome. And all of you who don't want to join, cool also. Like, do you.
And I look forward to being tagged in so many poison things.
Yeah. I'm making a t-shirt. So next piece is Patreon. There's another link in our show notes. Anyone who's been listening to us for a while, some of you are new listeners, you don't realize this, but our audio was hot garbage for a while there. Thanks to a Patreon and people contributing, we've now bought new microphones. We've got some new editing software. We actually hired an audio engineer to clean up our cast. This is thanks to all of you. So we have a Patreon. If you like what we're doing and you want to help us out, it really does help. All the money goes right back into the cast, allows us to expand out a lot of the things we're looking to do. Stuff like opening a merchandise website, which we're looking, opening a new website, opening YouTube, all these things. It just helps us kind of cover those costs. So thank you. But lastly, we would spend a bunch of time here talking about how Brad is a coach of 40K, but I don't have to anymore because we have a website now.
We got a website and we have Discord tickets.
Yeah, you can go to Discord. But we should do it properly. So Brad is a coach of Warhammer 40K. If he's been playing the game for almost 30 years, very successfully, but more importantly, he's been a coach for most of that time. He knows how to introduce people to the game and more importantly, improve your play within the game. Brad, he's played with or against effectively every game. You have played with or against every army faction game, and at routine levels too. Not like, one time in 2016, I played Dark Angels against Dark Angels. Like, no, this is.
I've actually played every faction at some point.
You probably have. You also play this game, 20 hours a week?
Yeah.
So it's like, that's what they do. So he knows it really well. Brad has a coaching service available. As much as I know that some of the older listeners are going to get mad that we're not going to do this anymore, we're not going to yell his email address anymore. good God, dude. Because you can go to the 40klorecast.com. We have a new webpage there with coaching. You can contact Brad, or you can go to the Discord.
I would actually prefer join the Discord. It's a great community, and it's also the easiest way that I get.
As Brad's close friend, I mean, I've had some drinks today. I'm going to say this openly. Whatever he says he prefers, do the opposite.
I've never liked you. We were walking, and I told John a story, and I went, this is going to sound bad. I go, nah, you're a huge dick.
Not to you. Yeah.
it's no big deal.
So anyway, back to the ad mech. After last cast, I realized we just skipped something, and we should have done that one, so we're doing it now. The Machine Spirit. So I think we should open with Machine Spirit, because we should have covered it last time.
Yeah, but it's weird, because the Machine Spirit is a catch-all in the game.
It is.
It's not, and it's very different in the lore and literature of it.
True. That's very true. So, but let's start with what the Machine Spirit is. So the Machine Spirit, I always say, I'm going to tell you from my perspective. When I first heard about the Machine Spirit, it felt like this stupid thing. Like, oh, these morons are, you know.
Well, because it kind of is on some things, though.
Right.
Because of the fact that it's such a, everything that's dealing with the technology in the Imperium is layered upon layer with this religious iconology. Right. My favorite, we talked about it before, which is you go into the land reader and you do the 20 different rites and read the prayer
and press
the on button.
Right.
But the Machine Spirit is
a real thing. Yeah. And so the analogy I used here is like the AdMech and the Imperium really don't understand the technology. So it must be the Machine Spirit. Kind of the same way that Brando is what plants crave. And if you don't understand that, you'll figure it out pretty quick.
You know who you're voting for this.
Exactly. Yeah. It's what plants crave.
Duh.
Obviously. That being said, though, when you spend more time in the lore, like obviously we have to, I always remind people, as dumb as the Machine Spirit sounds, this is also, demons exist. You know, warp entities exist.
In like, Chaos, the Machine Spirit is actually spirit of a demon.
Yeah.
Trapped within.
So the argument is I would argue that the Machine Spirit is not this like mythic being. I think it's real. And the reason I defend that is, quick caveat, I am not an electrical engineer, so feel free to tell me how much this I get wrong. But effectively, most softwares today, to my understanding, have a base code. Java, Python,
C++ might still be around. This up and get destroyed.
I'm going to get wrecked for this. I'm going to get something wrong. I mean, it's okay. Luckily, there's not a lot of computer programmers who play 40K.
I just feel like you're about to explain flat Earth and a bunch of other things to people.
I am about to get ruined, but I'll take it. I'll take my beating. By the way, all my point is that we've got a lot of base codes today. Java, Python, C++. I think C++ is gone now, but these ones exist. So 30,000 years in the future, you know, what if there's an AI base code? That's how you start all your programming. It was kind of my idea. Not like Men of Iron AI, but more like Alexa AI.
Then I'm gonna actually back you up on this one. And here's why. Because of the fact that the Imperium it's not even the Imperium. Before they were in the Imperium, humanity used a common source. The STCs and things of that nature were everything used the same.
Well, yeah, thing. And that is my idea. My idea is that we know about the STCs now, but what about the precursor to the STC? Why would I code from scratch when I have a base code? So
everybody has to use the same code because we're a galaxy wide. Remember the age of technology, they were using instant technology.
Exactly.
Communication, they needed everything to be the same.
And that's my idea. My opinion on the Machine Spirit is I think that it's actually a kind of almost a base code. I like from Alexa AI, where it's not a full, because Alexa's not an AI, but it's this base level that exists within the machinery. And, you know, it's just kind of like, oh yeah, when you go to make a piece of equipment, this is the first piece of code you put in there. That ends up becoming the machine spirit. So that being said, for those of you who actually know what the hell I'm talking about, because I don't, Discord is the best place to tell me, dear God, John, why would you say this?
When you start bashing John, please tag me.
Oh yeah, tag both of us because Brad will enjoy this. So anyway, the other justification I'll make on the machine spirit is that, you know, aliens can't interact with it. So we've seen this over and over again. The machine spirit only is not something that the Eldar have tried to interact with it. They can't.
Yeah, but they also think that we're using rocks and
right. But and all I'm saying is that does make it to seem more than just, oh, I'm doing a bunch of rites and pressing the on button. Because then the Eldar abusers just press the on button and look at us like we're morons. They actually can't make some of this technology work. That being said, waiting on Leagues of Votan.
God, they need to.
The book's coming out.
Hold on. As usual, getting my chi together.
Yep.
I'm skipping over it because I want to say a bunch about Votan because it's left out.
The Votan are the other question mark. For those who don't know, we'll cover the Votan in the future, but there is an element. Votan are human.
Well, we're not going to cover Votan until we get a Votan Codex out, though.
Yeah, we might do a double take. You're probably right. But
you're going to try to put it out before Tau? I don't think so, John.
Oh, no, I'm doing Tau. Like, for the record, we're doing Tau. And one of two things is going to happen. I'm going to be proven right, or I'm going to build a Tau army. TBD.
I'm going to make the Tau our most exciting episode.
It probably will be, but I have it. That's like, I have an entire Inquisition army because I just enjoyed our Inquisition cast and I went.
That is 100% true.
Yeah.
I just want everybody to know, I'm going to go to the Discord again because if you go, hey, should we give shout outs? Yes, we will try to do that more often because yes, we've had half of our shows are because people asked us to do that and we just did that.
Yeah.
Because we had the Horus Heresy and then question mark of what the order we should do. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the best is we did that cast and then John just sent me a message of, I'm painting up my 2,000 point force. What?
2,000. Right, it's 4,000 points.
Yeah, come that's on. True.
I built 4,000
points. Well, you made points. An army of 2,000.
I think I have 2,000 points of Arbites.
Cop jail.
Yeah. Yeah, the Judge Dredd is going to, I mean, I'm going to lose terrible on the tabletop, but it's going to look
the mediocre. Games you're going to win, you're going to make people so sad. But
oh, it's going to be horrible.
But as usual, Brad never staying on topic if John doesn't make me. The big thing is like, we really, really appreciate that. And I want more of that because that's where we go.
Oh, it's fun as hell.
Because I have 47 ideas. We went to lunch today and I said, we should do these 42 things. And he went, no, we can't do any of that.
Are we talking to a 11-year-old with ADHD? Like that's we do them all at 50 times speed. Anyway, all right, back to what we're talking about. Machine spirit. So let's actually, now that we kind of talked about like, is it a real thing? Yes, it is. So what does it do? The machine spirit, what it does actually varies by the size of the construct because the machine spirits exist from small computers all the way up through Titans. Anyone who played Rogue Trader, there's like times where the machine spirit's just in like a computer. The machine spirit effectively just kind of aids function and process. So in smaller equipment, it's a diagnostic tool, for lack of a better phrase. Vengeance Seers, they can sing to it and they communicate with it. And they basically ask the machine spirit to aid it with repair. So it'd be like for me, I work in dental. So like a CMC machine that's like miscutting, it's erroring. Instead of like going into and actually adjusting the cam, you just pray to it and the machine spirit would actually go through and fix it for you.
And it's a big deal in this because the machine spirit also deals a lot with targeting.
Yeah. But it's like the military on the other end of the spectrum is a Titan. And again, as we've said before about always like responding. When we talk about a Titan, this is not an Imperial Knight. This
Titan is
like
a city that walks around.
8 or 9 times that size. There are people. The best example from modern times is an aircraft carrier. It's that level of people on it in size.
Because it has.
But it's bipedal.
It also exists independently.
Yeah, we're going to have to do a cast on that, aren't we?
It is like wildly
the abomination
crazy.
Of physics that Titans are.
Yeah. Because also they're basically walking cities with their own eco and economic systems.
It walks. Why wouldn't it be on treads if you take a leg out of the whole thing falls over?
As my engineer friends that are 40K guys get so angry about
that. I know at least seven friends of mine who play 40K who are engineers and will not play Knights on that principle alone. They're like,
put it on tracks. It makes no sense.
They all see a Bane Blade and go, yes, this makes sense. But then they look at an Imperial Knight and go, no, like just a Reaver Titan.
Yeah.
No.
But your Bane Blade can't kick you.
That's fair. But so on a Titan, the Machine Spirit actually kind of runs it. Like there's a big crew, obviously, but the Machine Spirit actually creates the interconnectivity, and the Machine Spirit allows it to actually move at full speed. So it ends up being almost an autopilot. So if you're inside of a Titan sometimes will react faster than the crew will react, will be the Machine Spirit.
Because it calculates. It does targeting calculations and all.
Yeah, but I think my favorite example is the Land Raider. Oh, yeah. Because the Land Raider is where, like, maybe the most extreme. So it's the most extreme example because the Land Raider, of all the things when we talk about Machine Spirit on the tabletop, the Land Raider is the one that actually.
Well, it used to be able to fire an extra weapon.
Yeah, it also used to be good in the tabletop.
I mean, firing an extra las cannon.
I know. I'm still standing by. The Land Raider to me is one of the most iconic elements of the entire game, and it sucks. And it bothers me that it sucks. But anyway, so every Land Raider has a very powerful Machine Spirit, and there's a number of stories where the entire crew on the Land Raider gets killed, and the Land Raider just keeps fighting the enemies. And when I say fighting, I don't mean like it just keeps driving forward and shooting a gun forward. No, it's picking new targets and killing them. Like it's
and running over people.
Yeah, running people over. And then all of a sudden, like someone walks up to the crew after the battle's over, like, hey, thank you, Land Raider, for winning this battle. And everyone inside is dead. So for the ad mech, though, the Machine Spirit means more than anything.
And that's proof. It's proof.
It's proof that there is a machine god. Now, this also is a hit and miss for them, because the problem for the ad mech is it also creates an issue. While the Machine Spirit proves the existence of the Omnissiah, the ad mech also worship the machine god, and they constantly get reinforcement from its existence, which makes them want to do more to show its loyalty. So this, we're going to cover this a bit more later, does create some challenges, because if you believe the Emperor is the machine god,
which not all of them do.
Not just them. It's also more the Imperium. The ad mech are very motivated to the existence of the machine god because they get the most evidence that the machine god exists. The Ecclesiarchy doesn't always view the Emperor as the machine god.
But they're still pretty happy that you worship him.
They are. Let's just say there's a viewpoint of...
Yeah, well, you're not doing it right. How about
The ad mech are viewed as very loyal worshipers of the Omnissiah. But if you don't think the Omnissiah is the Emperor, and you think the Emperor is the only god, the Omnissiah thing's a little bit of a problem.
It'll probably work out, because the ad mech's in charge of a couple things.
Yeah, the ad mech get left alone. So let's talk about...
Why? Well, John, what are the reasons the ad mech gets left alone?
The ad mech wouldn't exist the Imperium would not exist. So, as in the last cast, post-heresy, the Mechanicum are reformed as the Adeptus Mechanicus. And despite more than half of them and their forge roles turning to traitor, they were given actually more power and more autonomy in the new Imperium.
And they also absorb the traitors into their midst.
That's not important.
Like a lot of them. Like a lot of them.
To be fair, your opinion. Because the Admech... There's no evidence amongst the ad mech of who was traitor and who wasn't traitor.
Yes. A lot of the ad mech is traitor. I mean, there's Dark Mechanicus right now that actually left.
Yeah.
And went basically with a bunch of the legions and went back to the Aetera, and they still exist. Dark Mechanicus.
I'm just making the joke that the truth is, the ad mech basically just absorbed a ton of these guys.
But I'm saying 50% of the traitors just went back the next day and were like, hey, Tim, and you're like, weren't you trying to kill me yesterday? Yeah, but I got a shift now.
Yeah, exactly. I get to work, so we're good, right?
Yeah, you're going to have to deal with this, man, because we're working the same machine for the next 12 hours.
And the reason for this, though, is the Imperium post-heresy has a greater need than they've ever had before. So they need weapons of war, because they went from fighting a couple Xenos to now Xenos and...
Well, they have their forces.
And traitors.
Well, that's a lie. We quartered it. I'll do the math correctly.
Yeah.
Because we halved half the legions turned traitor, which took half the guard with them and everything else. But then also in killing each other, they have that.
Yes. You're down 75%. Also incredible levels of damage. So we need weapons of war now.
Well, let's go the even then, because we have the things got nothing but worse in the next 10,000 years. But at this point in time, we have all of the Xenos problems that we already had. And we have the guys that we just defeated. I'm doing wild air quotes because
Brad's just gesturing like crazy right now. I just let it happen.
But also, it's not like they went, hey, we're defeated, we're never coming back. They actively said, we're going to kill you as soon as we possibly can. So you're like, we should probably fix this. Also, I forgot to mention, we just ruined, like, I don't know, somewhere between 5,000 planets that you got to go fix.
And we're going to cover in a few casts, the Drukhari also start to arrive at this point too.
Yeah. So. Also because they went, remember when they used to defend this place? Nobody showed up. It's going to get real weird for the populace.
Yeah. Weapons of war. They also need now planet crackers in order to get resources. They have to terraform new settlements. We need manufacturing for all these hive cities, ships to move stuff around. I mean, basically 90% of this functionality is coming from the AdMech. So when they ask for something, everyone just kind of goes, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, basically, do stuff.
Yeah, it's effectively what ends up occurring is the AdMech end up getting this incredible autonomy just to do whatever they want. Well, and to Brad's point, were they traitors to the Imperium? Yeah, a lot of them were.
Well, pause on that, though, because they're not supposed to have this autonomy. The autonomy happens. Remember, they're supposed to have less autonomy. That's why they became the AdMech. But because of the fact that we went, we need you to do these 500 things, and they go, if you don't mess with me, I will do this.
They got more autonomy. They went from the AdMech to having being a Lord of Terra.
Well, yes, but I'm saying...
Their own branch that reports to said Lord of Terra.
Yeah, but they were supposed to be reined in. That was originally the thought after all this
happened. And they reined them in by basically
completely leaving them alone.
Exactly. Yeah. You're reined in. And not only are we going to leave you alone, we're actually going to write down in our bylaws that you're going to be more left alone.
Yeah, but it's because.
So I hope you learned your lesson.
In the bylaws, you go, if you guys do something bad, you have to police yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. You guys are in charge of you. Don't mess that up.
Yeah. And they're like, if you commit a crime, you should definitely prosecute yourself.
But it actually gets worse than that, because the AdMech now take this autonomy and they begin to forge, get it, their own mini Imperium. They start settling worlds in mass.
They don't just settle worlds, they take over worlds.
Well, this gets worse.
You act like they settled the world, like, hey, this is a nice place with nobody here. No, they showed up and went, hey, man, this is our stuff now. And people are like, I live here. You're like, oh, you mean you work here for me?
Yeah, you work here for me. By the way, you need to report to that big container over there. We're going to augment you a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're going to get some stuff. Yeah,
am I going to get new work gloves?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they'll be attached to the hands that we cut off.
Exactly. So one area before we kind of dive forward is Forge World, Hive World. Because it actually really doesn't matter for AdMech. Because the AdMech, what they do is when an AdMech settles a world, it's called a Forge World. We talked in our casts about, you know, Hive Worlds, what Hive Worlds are. So Hive Worlds produce the most common products for the Imperium. They're incredibly, there's a lot more of them. So a Hive World's going to produce things like las guns, actually Lehman Russ tanks, interestingly enough, flak armor, ammunition, but also like they're going to convert the raw materials from agri worlds.
They are more diverse, though. The Hive Worlds, a lot of times, make multiple products.
Yeah.
Forge Worlds do not.
Yeah. The Hive Worlds produce the most commonly. Like, a Hive World's going to make t-shirts and socks. Forge Worlds, on the other hand, make melted guns, power swords, power armor, bane blades, starships, titans, warp drives.
But they're also very specific.
Yeah, that's all that they produce. But the truth is where the way I look at it is the Hive Worlds handle the day-to-day function of the Imperium. That's what they produce. The Forge Worlds are why you can have a day-to-day function. the weapons the war of machine. War. Yeah, the weapons of war they make are.
Like, also, there's a lot, to be fair, there's a lot of Hive Worlds. There's not a lot of Forge Worlds.
Yeah, but it is growing is the problem.
I mean, yes.
Yeah. I mean, the issue is effectively the Forge Worlds were always a key piece. But again, they made specialized weaponry. As the galaxy becomes more inflamed, these Forge Worlds become more and more important. This is kind of how the Admech gains so much power. Because remember, like up until the Heresy, the only real threats to the Imperium were a couple random Xenos here and there and like light traders. It was like, okay, this. Then we get to the Heresy, and even post-Heresy, we still don't recognize that the traders were chaos. This all shifts around M32. Because in M32, the War of the Beast explodes, and the Imperium is hit with a Xeno invasion they've never been hit with before. And the War of the Beast was only put down because of the weaponry of the Admech. This then, of course, so they beat that, but it's still, the orcs don't go away. You then get the Drukhari raids begin, followed by the very beginning of the Necrons.
Which they kind of don't know about. They just know that some shit is happening. Because in the beginning, remember, the Necrons would show up and do stuff and then just leave.
Yeah.
Because of their technology.
Or they would wipe a planet out
completely. They would either, but I'm saying, even when they lost, though, they took all their shit with them.
Yeah.
Because they teleported everything away.
That's true. But then you get the
Tyranids. So you just go, hey, what happened? You're like, I don't know, man. They're just gone. Yeah.
We still don't know about the Votann. The Votann are friend or foe. Yeah, there's Tau, but whatever. It's like the Tau are doing a thing in an area.
Tau aren't even there yet.
No, I'm saying eventually. What I'm saying is it's not really a Forge World problem, is what I'm saying Tau are.
Yeah.
Maybe the Shield Drones are. Tau Shield Drones versus Leviathan Dreadnought.
The only people that played in like 8th edition understand that.
And again, for those of you who are like, I like Tau, I actually don't mind Tau. I hate 8th edition Tau. That's all this is.
Everyone hates 8th edition
Tau. Yeah, I hate 8th edition Tau. So this begins to push the Imperium a little bit. The reason the Forge Worlds, with all these problems, become important is that up until this point, the Imperium has operated on the old adage, just jam the wood chipper.
With bodies.
Yeah, that's what it was. The wood chipper has gotten so big now, they actually can't jam it with bodies anymore. So now we need technology. And the only place to get... We need
better weaponry.
Yeah, and that's only coming from the Admech, which means the Admech now start to get even more autonomy.
Okay, we've talked about it. We did a whole cast on Hive Worlds.
Mm-hmm.
A Hive World is a vacation spot compared to a Forge World.
Oh, yeah. Forge Worlds are absolute nightmare zones. So we need to spend some time now on Forge Worlds and about how much of a nightmare they are.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
It's time to accept it. The holidays are upon us, and finding gifts for people is never easy or really fun. Luckily, we at the 40K Lorecast have a new sponsor, will help you make your holiday shopping fast and easy. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Add some personalization to your holiday shopping with Uncommon Goods. Did I go there and buy the game Fart Bingo? Yeah, I did. Is it for my child to play with his friends? We'll go with, yeah. At the same time, I was able to get a cocktail smoker. So yeah, those are probably all for me. Anyway, that's what's great about Uncommon Goods. They have uncommon, get it, collection of items you can choose from, allowing you to pick up a fun variety of items this holiday season. You'll find thousands of gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. So, shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/40klore. 40KLORE. That's uncommongoods.com/40KLORE for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods. We're all out of the ordinary. So I want to just, before we dive into them, let's focus on the phrase, the flesh is weak. Anyone who plays the game, if you don't play Admech or you play video games, you've heard this phrase, the flesh is weak. This was because the Admech had always been a big fan of augmentation. When they were the Mechanicum, they were pulling off, you know, arms, eyes, etc. But post, you know, Heresy, they are...
Especially post-War of the Beast.
Yeah.
Because they needed more.
Yeah, we moved to a point where, like, if you look at a Tech Priest, they're less than 10% organic matter. Everything becomes...
They are General Grievous.
Yeah. Now, that's... But what's interesting about this is all these augmentations prior to this were done by choice. It was, I'm a tech priest. I want to interact better with technology. Therefore, I want to remove as much flesh from my body and turn it into technology so I can better interact with technology.
And this is where it becomes a nightmare. And this is why I thought it was really important to focus on this. Mm-hmm. Because AdMech got carte blanche on just do what you need to do. Yep. As long as you're putting out this, we don't want to know what you're doing.
Exactly. The Imperium's rule is very simple. If you meet the Imperial like tithes, we don't care how you meet them, and just meet them.
And what John was saying earlier about them starting to take over worlds to make Forge worlds, they were just taking populaces and augmenting full quotes, but terrible, like nightmare. Yeah. I mean, you get arm, they just chop off your arms and make it so that you I'll feed you through a tube. And you're better on the line.
Yeah,
the assembly line with this. And you're like, I don't want any of this. They go, well, we're just going to put this chip in you now where you can't talk back. Well, here's why it's such a nightmare. Because they could at least have the decency to basically lobotomize these people, but they don't bother. They can't be bothered with the step. They just put up an inhibitor chip that makes it so you can't stop doing what they tell you to do. But you're fully aware of the fact that you half the time can't control your body. And oh yeah, you can't do normal shit because you now have two prongs that fit into the assembly line that you work on. And you're like, we'll also just make it so they work, I don't know, like 20 hours at a time. Will it totally kill this person? I mean, yeah, eventually, but we'll just put a bunch of drugs in. Are the drugs going to cause massive pain and problems? Oh, yeah, but we'll get maximum efficiency, and then we'll just do this to another guy, and we'll actually use the arms that we had on this guy and put him on another guy. Oh, yeah, does he know what's happening? Oh, yeah, we keep him aware the whole time. You're like, why? Because we're dicks. That's the only reason I can give you. The AdMech is just dicks. They could just...
horrifying. I mean... Let's dive
in. You're just trapped in your body.
Let's dive in. So we covered hive worlds, different planets, and we kind of skipped over Forge worlds. And the reason it was intentional, and I knew this was coming. Living in a hive world might be better. It's wildly better. It's a tough call.
It sucks. Hive worlds suck.
It depends where you are. So hive worlds are, you know, you've got, because the AdMech run a tight ship. The hive worlds, you've got roaming murder gangs.
I'm just
corrupt
saying.
Corrupt planetary governors. AdMech's worlds, like, no joke, the entire world will be toxic or radiated. It'll be every time.
I have a Necromunda army. I'll join a biker gang.
Yeah, they don't, like there's no OSHA. Like, and for those who don't know what OSHA is, occupational safety. And so it's the safety guys. The term I used for them is AdMech uses the Ivan Drago mantra.
If they die, they die.
That's their viewpoint of their workers. So, which means that, as Brad was saying, like, you know, if you, they augment everyone. So those of us who played Space Marine 2, you'll notice that like some of the workers have plugs in their heads and their bodies. This is so they can be plugged into technology. They didn't ask for that. That was something AdMech just put in them. And not a lot of anesthesia and rest period.
No, they're drilling holes in your head. They're like, hold still. Yeah. No problem. If we're going to hold still, we're just going to pin you to the ground. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And so the AdMech at this stage, though, start to discover the value. One thing that comes out of the Forge worlds and this worker force in the Forge worlds is AdMech start to see all the value of doing these kind of what I would call more mild modifications to people and see what they can do. And they can actually not only use these modifications for labor and for production, but for combat. And they start creating effectively weapons of war built off of humans. And yeah, we're about to do Skitari and Cataphrons. And Skitari. So let's dive into the Skitari. And the Skitari are, so what they are is the main infantry arm of the AdMech. By the way, we see the infantry arm, the non-infantry arm of the AdMech are Titans. So pretty big gap here. We're going from individual dude with rifle all the way up to Walking City. Yeah. And the interesting thing about Skitari is actually we don't fully know their original formation. We know they came out some point.
You know, I'm going to give another one. This is one of the times when I actually like the blurriness of it, because ADMAC are pretty damn secretive about what they do. So there shouldn't be a record in the base.
Yeah, material. And this is the first time we made a Scutari. The Scutari kind of appear. They're present during the Heresy era, but they really blow up post-Heresy. And this is mostly because prior to this, the ADMEC, remember, this is an important thing. Under the Mechanicum, they relied on the Imperium of Mankind to protect them. So the Mechanicum were just there for creating technology. That's all that they did. Now that they have all this new autonomy, they have to actually conquer worlds. They have to do a bunch of things all on their own.
Well, they also got fairly wrecked, dependent on who wanted them to be on their side.
Yeah.
So this is I kind of don't want that to happen again.
Yeah, they learned a key lesson that, yeah, you know, we need to have our own military. So the Scutari become this massive force within them. And so what is a Scutari? So all Scutari were originally humans. It's not entirely clear where they come from. We know some of the things that, you know, some are just born. I don't know how ADMEC have kids, but apparently they're born. And they volunteer.
Let's be honest.
They're background.
I'm just saying. Yeah. Well, I don't know why we're touching on this.
Yeah.
Every other thousand, you know, and then they're all that grown.
Yeah, exactly. They're all that grown. Or there's a special version of them that are captured, lobotomized, and brought into service. We're going to get to that specific group. And then,
again, I'm putting the lobotomized in quotes because you're not. You're still, unfortunately, weird because ADMEC are dicks.
Yeah, so one thing we should point out. When we use the word lobotomized, there's the true version of lobotomized where we're actually basically severing your higher process and the rest of your body. What the ADMEC do is they sever your higher process from any influence on the function of your body, which is so dark and so wrong.
You're a prisoner in your own body. It's crazy dark.
So this is why the Scutari have more of a human shape. But when you actually look at the model itself, they're much more, you know, machine than man.
They're almost all machine.
Yeah, their whole body's replaced with bionics. They both, you know, actual limbs and whatnot replaced, eyes, but also they even have their brains adjusted. So a couple of key highlights, which I like, is random. I don't know. This is a really weird 1-2 combo. They have their eyelids removed.
Okay. Which also, why?
Right, but then they replace their whole eyes with cybernetic goggles.
Yeah, so like because you
just did this first step and you were like,
to be a dick. Again, to be you still need to protect the eyes.
And then I put goggles over to you. I'm like, just so you replace the eyes with goggles. Yeah. But before we did that, we cut their eyelids off.
Again, what does that function help? Nothing.
The goggles they put in then are designed to be like a Space Marine helmet. So they, you know,
could have done that and still had eyelids.
Yeah. But endless information? No, because, you know.
I mean, apparently, the goggles also have a shit ton of Visine in them.
Yep. Well, the question, Brad, do you think they can see in the dark? Do you think night fight's a thing for ADMEC? Are they probably okay?
This actually, weirdly enough, makes me wildly more angry than Poison does.
Yeah.
Because, again, we're 2024, and I
can't fight in the dark.
I can wildly see in the dark. So 38,000 years from now, night is a problem.
It's hard to see in the dark. I don't know what it's about. The next one they do is really weird. They actually, so when we did the Space Marine episode talking about how they put in like an extra lung that had some oxygen in it to help them survive when there's poison in the air, it probably doesn't work. Well, the ADMEC did a weird one. They actually put a chunk of poisoned gas inside all of them that is nourishing. I had to read this 7 times, if I'm being honest. This makes
zero sense.
Yeah, apparently because the Scutari come from an irradiated world or a toxic world.
But they all don't.
But they all do. If the Scutari, they all come from a toxic
irradiated world. That's true. They're official Scutari.
And so to make them feel better in combat, they have a little like, they take a hit of like incredibly toxic air and it makes them feel better.
You're like, hey man, crystal meth, just like home.
Yeah, but no, crystal meth, at least, the Germans conquered France on that drug. Like, you know, these guys are actually just getting like Chernobyl. It's not as fun.
Well, let's talk about the next happy thing that happens.
Of the mini lobotomy with Neuralink. So what they do now is they give them not a full lobotomy, but they put a Neuralink in their brain. Good job, Elon Musk. and it makes them fearless on the battlefront, not the tabletop.
Their leadership's so bad on the tabletop.
Yet they're...
They physically can't run away unless the tech priest
wants to. Yeah, that's the thing. This is designed to make them function the way Tyranids do. They actually create a hive mind based around the tech priest where the Skitarii are interacting with the hive priest at full speed with full control. So they are completely fearless. They move seamlessly. And apparently whoever writes the codex for AdMech wasn't aware of that this is also in the same book.
I'm going to get soapbox incoming, everyone. On the tabletop, AdMech should have to have characters with all their units, period.
Yeah, I agree.
They don't operate. They don't send out a bunch of these gung-ho guys. This isn't Gaunt's Ghosts.
Well, I mean, I guess one tech priest could probably... You're right. You would need to have... If you have Skitarii, you'd have to have a tech priest somewhere.
You should have to have them within a certain range.
But if the tech priest were to die, they should be useless. Same with the Tyranids. You're right. The AdMech should have the same thing. Had the same... Similar synapse rule.
100%.
Yeah.
This is how they work. You don't get a choice. It's not like they asked if you, hey, who wants to be chipped here? Okay. Raise your hand.
My AdMech army is that I don't own one, but that is a player's like, well, my AdMech army are just, they're independent.
Yeah.
No. So, by the way, that was all the good part of being a Skitarii, because now it gets a lot worse.
But wait, there's more.
All the body modification and like loss of control, that was the good part. Here's the fun part. A lot of their weapons are radiation based. Now, I have no idea how this works, like how you shoot a radiation gun. And I don't feel like having the aneurysm to try to understand it.
They also don't contain it at all.
Yeah, but the part that's kind of so I'm not going to explain to you how shooting someone with radiation would work. I mean, yes, they'll get cancer, but they're not going to die now.
I mean, hey, you're going to die. Well, yeah. Sometime in the future.
Yeah, I've got a gun that shoots radiation. You have a knife. I mean, let's use it. We're both going to die. One of us is going to die a lot quicker. Yeah. You know, like that's all I'm saying.
I'm going to go home and tell my family that I'm going to die.
Exactly. Again. Although you will be glowing like a ghoul from Fallout. But
maybe I won't. Maybe I just become a ghoul.
But the funny part about these radiation guns is there's no lead in them. So the Skitarii who are carrying them are just carrying a cancer machine with them. So it also does kill them routinely. So that's like, that's actually still pretty good. I'm still Skitarii infantry. My weapon is killing me. But what if you're in the Skitarii and they say, well, we need someone to drive the truck, which I'm going to save all the AdMech players and not talk about hover, not hover. So fun part is if you need a pilot for the Skitarii.
It's not good.
Well, you know how sometimes you get in a rental car or maybe the car that you own and the seat's not that comfortable and you kind of don't like it. Well, luckily the Skitarii have an idea for you. They'll just cut off every one of your limbs and just make you the seat.
Yeah, they plug you in.
Yeah, you are now part of the vehicle and you will be with this vehicle until it dies. You are the Thomas the Tank Engine of the Imperium.
Also, I hope you're comfortable where you're sitting right now because you're sitting there, forever.
Yeah, but it's okay. Could still be worse. Because we mentioned earlier that some of the Skitarii are not born or bred or volunteered to be Skitarii. There's other ones that were effectively victims of an AdMech incursion or wronged the AdMech in some way. And these
ones... I hope for myself as tribute.
These ones. So what they do is first they hack off all your limbs and replace them with cybernetic pointy limbs. Your brain is lobotomized down to where you have no control over your body, but you have awareness. And then they, with the new chips they plug in your brain, they just fill your body and your soul with rage and hate. So it's almost like shaking a soda can as much as you can. And they're kept in these, the way you're supposed to is you keep them in transports, in closed transports. And then the door bursts open and they just run out to kill.
Well,
these are called Rust Stalkers. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, these are Skitarii Rust Stalkers and Infiltrators.
And that's why they're super fast on the board. Yeah. This is actually something that, let's go GW props. Yeah. They got 100% right because they have pluses to advance, they have pluses to charge, they can advance and charge. They are wild, they're super too fast.
Yeah.
And everything they do, by the way, will kill them.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They just die.
Well, they're supposed to because they're in punishment. They're supposed to die, but they rush out of the place as just absolute murder machines. When we do Drew Carey, we'll talk about Talos.
I do want to touch on the fact that also, not only murder machines also, but they get the chip programmed in. They try to murder other HQs, which are the people in command. They're supposed to go on their suicide mission, effectively.
To kill the most important thing.
If you have a big hat.
This is one of the few, even 10th edition AdMech have struggled, but Rustalkers.
I think they did a really good job flavor-wise with Rustalkers.
Model looks good. GW,
good job.
Yeah, model looks good. Unit plays, etc. Now, we're going to do Sisters in our next up-and-coming cast, and you guys, I'll let you decide this or Penitent Engine, which is the more messed up
Sister, version. But I'm going to tell you guys my thoughts. Sisters are the most horror. They're just, it's a horror movie.
For those who've forgotten, we're doing AdMech, Sisters, and then Drew Carey. Good luck.
I still think, we're going to do Drew Carey, and you're going to be like, that's messed up, and I still think the Sisters are worse.
Yeah, Sisters are much. The Sisters do it to humans.
Because they're self-righteous about it, too. That's the thing they get. Drakari know they're evil. Sisters are, we're the good.
Well, Sisters are like, this person deserves this. Actually, they're kind of the same. We'll get into it.
Yeah.
Actually, all three of them are the same. They all view the person doing this to as the same. So, but anyway, there is another branch within the AdMech soldiery, though, which are called the Cataphrons.
These guys are awesome, actually.
I love the model Cataphron. I wish they were good in the tabletop because they've just sucked.
They're just overpointed. They have been.
Always have been.
They always have.
When have they not been overpointed?
No, they're so expensive.
So the Cataphrons are much less mentally aware than the Skitarii. They're more close to servitors. And so they're used for a lot more of a devious end. So the Cataphron begins their life as a normal human being living their life. And then at some point, we've all had bad days. Everyone's had a bad day. No one's had I became a Cataphron that day.
Also, let's talk about Imperium Justice. Ready? John committed a crime. Oh, man. John's going to get a horrible punishment, probably way too much punishment. Mm-hmm. And then the AdMech scoops up everyone that lived in that city and also makes them part of this. You're like, but I've never even met John. Well, you should have probably stopped him from committing that crime. I don't even know who he is or where he lives. Well, he lives close enough to you where you're now going with us.
Yeah, let's dive in. So this is a fun one. Effectively, at some point, said individual makes a mistake and crosses one of the many wings of the Imperium. You could be a true criminal, murderer, smuggler, all of these.
True. They do send prisoners, but also exactly what I was saying. Yeah.
They also could have, like, there's also the undesirables, where it's like, hey, I tried to organize a labor movement to revolt against this.
We shouldn't be working 20-hour days in poison.
And even then, there's also still the ones who were just like who looked directly into the eyes of the planetary governor.
And or, again, you were near the guy that we were picking up.
And so these guys,
remember, the Imperium's all about numbers. Hey, we're here to pick up prisoners. Yeah, but we actually need 1,000. There's only 200 prisoners. Let's grab these 800 people.
Yeah, goes, the first 800 you see. Let's
the
go.
The guy working at the Gap going, but I'm...
No.
No. I just got off lunch. No.
So these people in this... This is in the codex why I'm going to do this. They then... The Arbites are sent after them, and the Arbites just beat them within an inch of their lives.
They also don't tell them why they're beating them.
The Arbites effectively are the Brute Squad, which if you don't know the reference, I'm on the Brute Squad. You are the Brute Squad. Maybe the best movie ever made.
Also, if you don't like that movie, you know.
No one does the movie. They just haven't seen it. So the Arbites beat these people within an inch of their lives, and then they're shipped off to a forge world, at which point their life gets worse. So first off, these ones are actually fully lobotomized. They lose all consciousness whatsoever, as opposed to, and get a mind control chip.
Now, I think that this is better.
It's better for the individual. It's just so messed
I know,
up.
But like the Skitarii thing is such a nightmare because you are fully aware of what's going on and you are a passenger in your own body.
Yeah, but in this one, they're taking your body and just turning it into a machine.
I at least don't know that's happening.
I guess that's true. Yeah.
How about this? I at least kind of died. I don't get to go, hey, am I fully aware? Oh, for some unknown reason, you also let me feel pain.
Yeah.
Why?
That's a fair point. Like, why?
You didn't have to do this.
You could have turned this off. Meh.
Yeah. You just decided to let me not be in charge of my own body, but still feel all the pain. Why? This, by the way, easily remedied, but you decided,
Catafruns. Catafruns just messed up things. What they do is they then cut their bodies in half and cut their arms off. And I assume
they strap you into an ATV. Way,
they never talk about what they do with those parts. It's corpse starch, right? We all know.
Oh yeah, you ate them for lunch.
Yeah, it becomes corpse starch. The torso-ish bit is then encased in armor and then jammed on top of some tracks, and a giant gun is attached to them.
You were welded into an ATV.
Yeah. Catafruns become just the suicide squad of the AdMech. They just send them out on their tracks with their giant armor and guns.
But you know what you do get, though? One of the coolest guns in the game.
Which one?
The Breacher gun.
Oh, the Breacher gun is awesome, yeah.
Dude, both of them are awesome.
Yeah, the Breachers. I mean, I love the Breachers.
But they're so good. They're so wildly overcosted. Yeah, they're so good.
I don't know where to put this in, and this is a personal thing of mine. Castellan robots.
Robots in disguise. So they're awesome.
I realize this is going to feel like a weird, like, you guys had like a it's going to sound like we did a weird edit in this. No, this is literally the order I'm doing this in. I don't have a good place to talk about Castellan robots in this cast, and so I'm just going to do it now because they're one of my favorite parts of the entire AdMech army, aesthetically.
Also, Warhammer Plus has a really cool thing on them.
Oh, do they? Okay. Yeah. I love Castellan robots. They look cool. Their lore is cool.
They look old. They look like Iron Giant.
Yeah. So first off about Castellan robots is they're one of the most secretive parts of the entire AdMech weaponry.
They've had them forever, too.
That's why. They're a minimum 10,000 years old, and everyone knows they're even older. The belief is they actually predate the Imperium. So they have never made a single one. Every Castellan robot you ever see was found by the AdMech. The only thing the AdMech know is that they currently have a way to control them. For those who haven't seen them, just look them up. But they're effectively a bipedal robot that looks like a 1950s.
That also fires a billion shots.
Or punches with the power of 1,000 suns. Yeah.
The punching thing we do a lot in the Imperium. The gun that they have is
8th edition combat, they were insane.
8th edition, when they could fire twice. Yeah, when locked in.
It lock in
double 36 double shots, a guy. So you know what I mean? It was crazy.
I have this love of them. I don't own an AdMech army. I had to play against this and watch a third of my army disappear.
I don't even like AdMech, let's be honest. I don't. Yeah. The AdMech's one of my least favorites. I love Castellan robots. I think they're cool as shit.
They look amazing. But the best part to me about them is, like, we don't know what they are. So the AdMech won't let anyone near them when they're anywhere. They just deploy them when they have to, and they get them the hell out of
them. They also don't know why they can control them. Let's be honest with that, too.
I'm not 100% that they can. Because the truth of the matter is that, you know, they don't necessarily resemble the Men of Iron, but they don't resemble the Men of Iron. Yeah, like, the whole thing, the AdMech, according to the AdMech lore, you know, the Castellan robots, there's a tech priest who interfaces with them. They do whatever he says. But these things predate tech priests.
The tech priests and the AdMech will lose engagements to make sure they don't lose Castellan robots.
Yes, and they will also, if the Castellan robot falls, they pick up every single piece. There is no evidence.
I firmly believe that
the Castellan robots are Men of Iron. I really, or a variation therein. I think it's minimum full AI, could be worse. And the AdMech are like, look, they shoot better than anything. Because on the tabletop, right now we're just talking, they were good. In the lore, if Castellan robots are deployed, it's an auto win. Yeah. Like, it
always shows up as multiples of them and just murder.
Yeah, they are so awesome. But, you know, we've talked about the Skitarii, the Catafruns, and these ones. What about, like, the regular AdMech?
Well, wait for it. I don't want
also
everyone.
Gets to, worse.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't want everybody to think, hey, John, Brad, you guys only talked about these really offshoot, the extremes. No. Everything else in AdMech is a nightmare.
Yeah. So let's dive into what regular AdMech are. So first, we'll talk about the tech priests.
We'll be right back after a quick break.
So what is a tech priest? You hear the term a lot. Again, this is more for those of you who played, like, Space Marine 2 or newer to the game. Like, yeah, what is this tech priest? So the tech priest handles kind of almost every role. They weaponry design, weaponry maintenance, ship maintenance, vehicle maintenance, armories. Like, you know, if you're playing Space Marine 2, you get your weapons from an AdMech tech priest. This is because a tech priest is effectively a living computer. Anything, they've augmented themselves so much, they are a machine. Those of you who properly read your guardsman manual, remember, like, for example, you are never allowed to touch, talk to, or interact with a tech priest, or you will be shot. Key piece. The tech priests share a similar, the tech priests all look kind of the same way, which is they're more machine than man.
Well, there's
like,
hold on.
Yeah.
I'm chaining it up again. There's a big difference in this because tech priests, every single piece of enhancement has been their decision and it augments what they're trying to do. They are, for them, they're trying to become the pinnacle of performance of what they're trying to do.
But the stories that are kind of funny where it's like, you know, they'll have a hand, they'll be doing something, they'll break a nail, and their solution is to remove the whole hand. Yeah, it's like, well, never let that happen again. If they stub a toe, you know, it's easier? No more toes.
Well, also, remember, we talked about this in the last cast. Almost every loss the AdMech has ever taken, and I just did air quotes and looked John in the eye for my air quotes.
Yeah.
Every loss that they've ever taken is always the flesh is weak.
Yep.
What could I need to lose this. My hand sucked. My eyes suck. These are the reasons we didn't get a complete victory in this last engagement is because whatever flesh I had failed me.
Yeah.
And I need to get that fixed.
And some of the changes make actually a lot of sense. So they'll usually change their hands out and their arms out for, you know, a hand that's basically got a multi-tool built into it. They'll add mechatendrites, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
The models...
Eyes and faces.
No, that's a big thing. We got to talk about the faces, though, because the faces are a huge failure. And you could see it in the AdMech line of models.
Yeah. For those of you who are building AdMech army, lead belcher, you're going to be buying a lot of lead belcher.
Yeah. I mean, well, the biggest thing is that if you look at the models themselves, almost all of the faces are completely augmented because it doesn't work for what they want to do.
Why have a mouth and vocal cords when you have a Voxcaster? I can now speak not only to a machinery, but I can transmit massive distances.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm supposed to, remember, I'm a tech priest. I'm in charge of 20, 30, 40, 50. Mm-hmm. I have people that are completely under my control that I need to communicate with all times.
Yeah, you also have the mechatendrites are the other big one. So these are actually... It's Dr. Octopus. I know where they got the idea from.
It's a good villain.
It's a great villain. But again, I mean, it's Dr. Octopus. They gave him Dr. Octopus on. So they have these extra like limbs that allow them to interact with more and more things. I mean, why have eight? Why have two arms when you can have eight?
They'll
add a special mechatendrite. We can put like a plasma cannon on.
Let's talk about this because this is another thing that's not allowed by the Imperium, which 100% is allowed by the Imperium because they just turn a blind eye to it. You can't operate eight arms without AI, which
that's not important.
They 100% have AI programming in them.
Yeah. One of the ones I did laugh at though was autosanguination. So it's when they have their like blood and heart and lungs replaced with a pump for it's a synthetic fluid. And they never talk about what it does.
What it does, yeah.
Like, because you don't need red blood cells anymore because there's no flesh. Because they refer to it as it helps them heal wounds and better defense against toxins.
To what?
Yeah.
Again, General Graves' heart.
You know what? Let's protect Brad here. I give Brad a lot of crap that I can poison a space marine. You can also poison a tech priest.
With what?
I know.
What are they?
So to be fair, that one's actually...
They rub some poison into the heart that's in the middle of them?
I can also poison Necrons. Which you're just like,
oh God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Necron.
Maybe I just tried it.
Yeah. Necron warriors. You can shoot Necron warriors with poison weapons. There's still wounds on it too. Because.
Also anti-infantry.
Yeah. Whatever. That's that thing. So yeah, I can't figure that one out. The one I do like, and we'll get to these guys in a second, is what's called the Electu, which is just a fun word, where they actually put circuitry inside of their skin so they can touch machinery and interact with it directly.
Well, this is, and when we talk about touch, I mean, he's not plugging in. I'm talking like you can touch.
Lay hands
on it. Yeah, exactly. You can lay hands on a vehicle. And one, you understand everything that's going on in the vehicle because you have an immediate connection and an immediate, this isn't one of the stories, actually. It's a short, I'm not even going to get it. I have to look
which one?
Second.
No, they don't. I'll just check my microphone.
One of the things is they have a short story about this where one of the tech Marines just touches a Land Raider and immediate gets an immediate transfer of all its knowledge. And they basically do a back and forth where you instant know.
And that's all it takes. Just boop, lay hands and I can, and that's the elect two. Now this transition, one important thing about the tech priests is that these transitions they do continue over time. So the older a tech priest, the more augmentation. So much like the Eldar, the tech priests also lean into their augmentation based on purpose for the Admech. If you're transmitting and cataloging data, you'll have an overpowered boxcaster. If you're working with Titans, you get a special interface. They call it a mind impulse unit. So you can actually interact better with it, with the machine spirit. If you're in charge of like capturing like data and information on the field, you'll have a little mini science kit built in. Or like you're leading like Skitarii or Cataphrons, they're just going to put every single gun that ever exists on you.
Yep.
And also like the Eldar, the longer you survive and the longer you live, you actually may end up branching into other areas and becoming even more knowledgeable. You do get more weird, but you get more knowledgeable and become more
weird, wildly more weird. We're going to talk about, this is a highlight of
So let's talk some highlights about some tech priests. So one of the ones I like a lot are Electro Priests. Again, I don't own an Admech army, but I like playing Admech. Electro Priests have been brutal. Is it 9th edition where they were just
the 9th edition, they were just disgusting. And 10th edition, you know what? I gave GW props earlier. Screw you, GW, on this. Why did you ruin it?
They were, they're useless now.
They're pointless. They were so awesome.
Yeah, 9th edition, they would, because Electro Priests.
They were good in 8th and 9th. They were amazing in 9th.
9th, 8th, they were good. So Electro Priests, we talked about earlier, people have the Electus inside them. The Electro Priests are the ones who get all of the Electus and basically a generator on top of it. They can effectively power a Land Raider by just putting their hand on it.
And the thing is that they focus these on either melee squads or shooting squads, which they would fire off this energy.
But they're not supposed to be, though. The thing is, what they're supposed to be, this makes them so cool. What they're supposed to be is like they'll work like in like a power plant. And because they have all this power, they can actually effectively control the reactor and control reaction times with their bodies.
Yeah, but what they do with them is send them out.
Yeah, but yeah, if you want to send them out into combat, they're a...
So if you don't send them into combat, if you take them out of the reactor and don't send them into combat, they will actually explode. Yeah,
they end up randomly exploding, which is hilarious. Another one that's really common, you see them in the tabletop, are Cybernetica Datasmiths. Which don't really belong to the tabletop. That's a side note.
They have battle meditation, though.
It's a stretch. I'm just saying
as far as the Star Wars fans, they know what battle meditation is.
Yeah, but it's a stretch.
But it is what they do.
Yeah. They
makes more sense. I actually disagree with you on this because I think that the Cybernetic Data Smiths, because they're supposed to be in charge of blocks of Skitarii, basically.
No, that's not Datasmith. The Datasmith's in charge of the robots and the vehicles.
They're in charge of the whole thing, is my whole thing.
Well, my issue with Cybernetic Datasmiths is that in the lore, a Cybernetic Datasmith could literally walk up to a Bane Blade that just got taken out turn it back on.
Yeah.
And now they don't do that.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right on that, but they also interact with everyone. They should be basically running the battlefield. They're generals.
Yeah, and that's why I just don't think they should be in the game.
They also cost 30 points. So. Yeah.
That's why. One of my favorites, though, are Rune Priests. So Rune Priests are another one of my favorites, and it's because they're just the super scientists of the Admech. They're called Rune Priests because they actually have runes carved all over their body, but they're carved by so they can better interact with all things mechanical. They're known more for chanting and doing all this garbage, but what they really do is diagnose problems is something broken? I'm going to interface with it and scour literally the entire knowledge banks of the Admech to solve it.
They're modeled incorrectly, by the way. They should have satellite dishes on their head, basically.
Oh, yeah. But they're cool as hell because they also analyze enemy weaponry, devices. They're the reason why,
Well, let's talk about one of the low-key things that they do. We didn't really hit on this. Rune Priests are supposed to pocket any Xenos technology. and not tell anybody about it.
Yeah, that's their true goal on the battlefield. They send rune priests out with the soldiers as if they were in command of the soldiers. They're not. Their job is after, like, we'll use, I'm going to give Tau credit here. Let's say the Admech fight Tau and defeat Tau. The rune priest's job is to pick up the Tau plasma and shove it in its pocket for anyone sees they did it, because they're going to go look at it later. Same thing with Tyranids. The rune priests are like ripping the arm off a Tyranid warrior to take it back. It's like, all right, let's go do research in this. Yep. The rune priests are cool as hell because they're just like, nah, I'm researching all of this.
In the movies, in the 80s movies, mm-hmm. they're the CIA guy he's there, but he has ulterior motives.
Yeah, he's the one roping off the area. Yeah, like, yeah, we're grabbing all of this now. Rune priests are cool as hell because again, on the tabletop, I don't care. But in the lore, the rune priests are what are advancing.
They're wildly lame on the tabletop, but they're amazing in lore. Because to be fair, they're the people that are pushing forward this, because Admech is the only arm of the Imperium that's not afraid to learn from Xenos technology.
The Admech leadership is built purely out of, there is no nepotism. There is only kind of earned advancement. If you are a good tech priest and you're a successful tech priest, you will advance, and you advance all your way up, which is why the Admech arguably are the most functioning version of any government within the Imperium, because everyone has earned their position. Them and maybe custodes. Space Marines probably too. They really do fall into that category of like, if you're a Space Marine captain, you are a hell of a soldier.
Yes.
You know, it's same. If you're the head of the custodes, dear God, you know, it's all these things. So the Admech are not like a lot of like the other parts of the Imperium.
Let's be honest. You're talking about Guard, but continue.
Well, I'm talking about Guard. You're in a playable faction. I'm talking about Guard. If I'm talking about the Imperium in general, I'm talking about
it's everything.
All of it. Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. And so as a tech priest advance, they then move up a tier. So once you've gone from priesthood, you then move up to like Magos, Logis, artisans. Okay. So one of my favorite parts of the Admech is the Admech and the Inquisition. And I wanted to kind of end our cast talking about this great nightmare.
Can we talk about the fact that who's probably killed the most Inquisitors?
Oh, it's the Admech. I mean,
for sure.
By a wide margin.
Like, so many accidents that have happened.
And well, it's really funny because, as we said, there's an Admech who's a Lord of Terra. Okay. So he has full autonomy and authority. But the Admech do not follow the Imperial Creed. They just
at all.
Yeah. They have no cathedrals to the Emperor. There's no iconography to the Emperor. They worship the Messiah. The ecclesiarchy has no play, has no presence on Forge Worlds.
You said a lot of good things. Also, they embrace Xenos so much.
Yeah. They love Xeno technology.
Love it.
They find it. It's mine.
They fight over it.
They also fight over corrupted technology. The technology.
Yeah, that's true.
This technology can be yelling, "I am corn," and they'll go, "What? It's ours."
Oh, there's so many corrupted demon engines that they're studying, trying to go, we should use this.
And also, we talked about it earlier, they also will just murder Imperial citizens because they discover that there's a hive world sitting on top of an STC drive, and the Admech just go, all right, let's just remove the hive world.
We've got rad weapons.
Yeah, from space. So it's a pretty consistent problem where they just keep murdering.
Also, to stroll back just a smidge, remember, AI is punishable by death, period.
Yeah.
You use full AI, not augmented. You use full AI, it is a shoot on sight, especially for the Inquisition. Boom, dead.
Well, you know what's not AI? Or maybe is AI? What's sitting in the Noctis Labyrinth on Mars?
Well, I guess that's not AI, but
let's just go through, like, from the Inquisition standpoint, we've got a group of people who don't worship the Emperor, openly worship another god than the Emperor, hoard Xeno technology.
Big time. Yeah,
murder the Imperium, also hoard, you know, the Chaos technology. Oh, wait, though. There's one more thing. And by the way, the High Level Inquisition knows about this. There is a labyrinth on the surface of Mars. And it's called a labyrinth because it's got a weird look. It's
a honeycomb.
It's a honeycomb, but it looks like it was made by I'm doing air quotes here, volcanic activity. It's made of stone. It's not made of. Yeah, but it's not a labyrinth. It's not made of like metal and walls. It's the actual thing. And there's passages, and inside it, it's rumored that the passages inside of it are so toxic and irradiated that you would actually melt your skin if you walked into them.
Except for the fact that they're actually delightful.
Yeah, they're actually perfectly safe and there's no problem in it. The ADMEC and a few members of the Inquisition actually know what's inside of it.
They also go down there a lot.
Yeah, it's a C-10. It is a full-blown...
Whoa. Pause on this, because name. People don't...
Oh, no, we're going to...
No, but I'm saying, we have to point out, everybody that plays 40K, you are used to playing with a shard, a broken, tiny piece.
A minuscule fortune. This one is called Magladroth, and it's a void dragon that is somehow... Now, fun story, we don't know how it got there. The rumor is at one point the emperor went to Mars, probably during one of the many times he wasn't being helpful to humanity, and imprisoned said void dragon.
And said nothing about it because he's a dick.
Yeah, just jammed it there.
Just bad dad.
Yeah. This void dragon inside of Mars carries all of the knowledge of the Necrons and the Necrontyr. And every now and then, the ADMEC wander down there and siphon some more knowledge out of it.
They basically poke him with a stick.
Yeah, and say, hey, make me a new gun, giant dragon thing.
Again, which is crazy because I'm going to the game. The thing that costs, in a 2,000-point game, costs 300 of your points and will kill things is a fleck of skin
of this monstrosity. Yeah.
That is what's killing the thing that you're super mad about that you couldn't kill in the game is a tiny little piece of
this.
And I
just really like this because we're talking about a planet that's one ring away from Terra.
Yeah.
Has a being in it that could eat the sun in a second.
That is what they used to do.
And it's just trapped inside of a labyrinth, probably maybe, and it's full of technology, and the most unreliable people with said technology are the ones in charge of it.
The guys that are definitely splitting up in a horror movie and looking for the killer.
Yeah.
For sure.
Are in charge
of it. They're in charge of it.
And my favorite part is, you know who knows it's there? The Inquisition.
Yeah.
And just don't know what to do about it. And so what they do about it is the Inquisition recognize...
It's nothing.
Well, no, they do something.
It's effectively nothing. Right,
so this is the thing. I like the Inquisition more than Brad does.
Yes. This,
I enjoy the Inquisition. I don't think they're good people, but I enjoy them.
I like Eisenhorn.
Yeah.
And the rest of the Inquisition.
So what the Inquisition realized, they've got a huge problem. If they were to just do what they want to do, which is kill every member of the ADMEC, the Imperium would collapse on itself. They need the ADMEC.
They would also release this.
Yeah. And
it's still soul system doesn't exist.
That thing would get released. Also, I don't think they could win a war. I don't think you could actually win a war against the ADMEC.
Well, they would blow up the soul system.
They blow up every planet.
I'm just saying, even if the Void Dragon, before it decides to scour the sun, they would just blow everything up.
So the Inquisition's goal is to kind of just bother the ADMEC and kind of deflect them from their worst things. So the first thing the Inquisition wants to do is kind of infiltrate the knowledge banks of the ADMEC just to know what are these guys up to, and let's stop them before they do something
really
stupid.
They do a great job on this, but they also have stories that they try to actually infiltrate the ADMEC, and they do such a bad job.
Oh, no, but that's the fun part. So the Inquisition, like their goal is let's learn what the ADMEC is up to, and the term is they kind of prune the most dangerous paths.
But they also have guys that do the Beshemi.
Yeah.
Hello, fellow high school students.
Hello, fellow ADMEC. I also like he's wearing a mask he bought at the Halloween store. Yes, like,
it's so bad.
I also am robot. It's nice having it is delicious having, you know,
beep boop beep boop stuff. You're like, no, man. Like, and they go, yeah, that's another dude. Yeah. By the way, another dude from the Inquisition. But by the way, both parties know that they're doing this is. Old school.
Oh, yeah. This shadow. So, yeah, this is me. So let's dive into that. So it becomes a shadow work. Because the problem is, as much as the Inquisition is like, we know what the ADMEC are really up to, the ADMEC secretly have all these things. the AdMech are fully aware the Inquisition is looking at them. Like, yeah. It's like they also, the AdMech made, so this is where it's funny. All of the technology that the Inquisition is using to spy on the AdMech was made by the AdMech.
So they just give them false information. It's just like such a spy on spy. Wow, I'm going way old on that.
Spy versus spy.
Yeah, that's
Mad Magazine. Yeah, that's we're in the 90s, Brad.
I think that might be 80s, actually.
You're right, it started in the 80s, but yeah. it was there in the 90s. So this ends up being actually quite fun. The part that's really funny is that this shadow war, not everyone's aware of it, though. So the upper echelons of the AdMech and the upper echelons of the Inquisition, both are perfectly aware that this shadow war is going on. Fine. But the lower tier people don't. And what ends up happening eventually is some Inquisitor either gets too close and gets wiped out by the AdMech.
It's not that they wiped out. They wipe out everybody that he worked with to make sure that nobody else finds out about it.
The Inquisitor knows this is coming and wipes out a key piece of the AdMech who are doing some research into xenotechnology, which then results in a counterattack from the other side, which all suddenly ends with everyone being dead because the head of the AdMech and the head of the Inquisition just called each other on the phone and were like, yeah, kill them. And they just wiped each other out like, all right.
Like, my bad on this.
Yeah, sorry. I didn't let Eric know before he got too far down the pipe.
We know we're only supposed to go so far either way.
Sorry about that. Like, ugh. And this happens, by the way, all the time. Planets, ships, all of them just disappear because a conflict breaks out between the two of them. And the issue is, like, if the regular members of the Inquisition knew how bad the AdMech were, they might do something about it.
Snuff it.
Next week. Sisters. Imagine if the sisters, if the Sorinus found out some of the stuff.
Sisters would wreck them. I'm sorry. Maybe someone mentions the Logan Grimnar, what the AdMech's doing.
Yeah. He's on his way. I think the sisters are the bigger problem.
Yeah, sisters were. Or they're also sisters, crazy. Or
the Grey Knights. The Grey Knights are more like.
Whatever.
You could explain to the Grey Knights, hey, it's okay, because the sisters would be like, I don't care if the galaxy burns. They're heretics. We're doing this.
Yeah. Grey Knights still have pragmaticism where they want to achieve a goal. Sisters don't care. If you kill this, we're going to lose. No, heretics can't be alive. Period.
Yeah, I will laugh, though. Like, let's do some fun ones, though. Because one of the things I do love about the AdMech is that they will do anything for technology. Anything, anything. And there are some really funny stories about this.
I love that you said really funny stories. They're all horrific.
Well, it also, by the way, again, the Inquisition, what we're talking about, we're totally right. So, completely right. These guys are idiots. So there was a planet that the AdMech realized had a bunch of technology they wanted, but it was in conflict. And so what they decided to do was they created an orc wa on the planet, because if the orcs were fighting, they wouldn't pay attention to this like random part of the
planet. They just wanted to go to it's a temple.
Yeah.
They wanted to go to a temple.
And they started an orc wa on the other side of the planet. So they were able to get it.
Killed the planet, by the way.
Also, the system. It took 3 centuries to put down the orc wa that the AdMech started. Also, they could just loot some catacombs.
They basically found a PlayStation 1 game, blew into it, and went, oh, sweet, Dragon Warrior 3, then moved on.
Another one was like the AdMech. There were 3 STCs on a planet. They get there, discover that the Necrons are there. 8-year war with the Necrons, but they succeeded. The 3 STCs were a self-heating crock pot, a way to make an auto quill, but also they did find a bolt round that melts selenite as if it was wax.
Let's talk about the auto quill.
Yeah.
Because people won't know what it is. It is legitimately a scribe program that will just auto dictate what you're saying.
My favorite one, though, and I don't know which book this is out of, is a planet called Hydra Cordatus. This is how messed up the AdMech are. There was ancient technology there that was incredibly forbidden. So they got a bunch of guardsmen to dig it up for them. And so the guardsmen are digging it up. They don't know what it is, but they're told, hey, this planet's really dangerous. So we're going to give you some anti-radiation pills so that you don't succumb to the radiation.
Foreshadowing, it was not.
Yeah. Oh, God. They were actually a slow-acting poison. that they were giving them, because in this way they would never live long enough to tell anyone, and the next group would come in and they would call it all radiation poisoning. So they poisoned tens of thousands of them.
Also, phase three of Space Marine 2.
Yeah, you get into space. If you guys are playing space, I don't want to ruin it yet, because the game's only at time of recording, the game's barely a month and a half old.
I mean, this happens.
Oh yeah, this is a key part of it. You'll discover the AdMech are happy to embrace some pretty aggressive, aggressive no technology.
Aggressive losses. Yeah.
That being said, with AdMech, we just talked about how bad they are. That, you know.
Well, you know what?
They're evil.
I'm jumping on my soapbox though for this. The reason that the Imperium puts up with their shit is, who produces the best weapons?
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel bad. I feel like we've just spent like 30 or 40 minutes talking about how the AdMech are terrible. We need to also point out that the entire Imperium would have fallen to any one of the enemies, even the Tau, honestly, if it wasn't for the AdMech.
Even the Tau.
But in the sense that the Tau, if the Imperium didn't have the AdMech, Tau weaponry would have just wrecked them.
Oh, 100%.
There's nothing left. The Imperium does not exist without the AdMech. So as bad as the AdMech are in the sense that, yeah, they are lobotomizing people and radiating worlds and doing horrible things.
But they're keeping you in the best tech that you have.
The Imperium wins
battles. Yeah, it's the same way. We're humans.
It's fine. But the Imperium wins battles and wars because of the AdMech. The Imperium is able to actually resupply. It's like I laugh at it. The same AdMech ships that land on your planet and irradiate it for an STC drive are the ships that, thanks to them, other planets get goods because of all the warp drives.
And as much of the Forge worlds are nightmares, they are so damn efficient.
Yeah, I mean, that nightmare is true, but if you're not on that Forge world and like the orcs invade, the reason the Space Marines can push the orcs back is.
You're like, why do we have a billion Meltaguns? Well,
yeah,
because this is happening.
Well, it's because you played Space Wolves, jackass. Those were last cannons.
No, it was Meltas.
Was it Meltas?
Oh, I had 28 Meltas in that gun, in that army, and 35 Thunderhammers.
For those of you who are new to the game and you're playing Space Wolves, and you're why aren't they very good? Brad's why.
You're welcome.
Brad ruined that army.
I crushed that.
So yeah, I just. As bad as I think the AdMech are, from an ethic standpoint, they're also maybe the most important faction in the Imperium.
Period.
I mean, don't belittle my Arbites.
Yeah, I believe it. They're so pointless.
They're fun to paint.
Sure. I mean, you go AdMech, supply everything, so they're probably the most important. I'm not going to belittle the Marines because...
Of course, yeah.
Imperium doesn't exist without Marines. It just doesn't.
I will get grief for this. I think Guard are more important than Marines.
Guard are more important with making the Imperium exist after the fight. The fight, the Marine.
It was like 100,000 Marines.
And they kick the shit out of people.
And just make more Guard.
Actually, that's why I don't play Guard.
When we get into the Sisters cast, I'll make my point a lot clearer. The fact that turns out you actually don't need a black carapace for power armor.
The Custodes already said that.
I know, but the Custodes are also genetically enhanced. Genetically
enhanced is mad that you compared it.
That's true. The genetic manager's looking at me like, what did you say? Like, I'm no Custode.
Yeah.
So those of you who like AdMech, as you can probably tell, we're wrapping up now. And you're saying, well, what about Call? What about these guys? We're going to get into Call because he is a pseudo heretic. He's a heretic, but we're going to get to his rise. We're going to do a deeper dive later in the 13th Black Crusade. And so that's why you're going to hear, sometimes we would cover those characters here. It's 30 minutes on Call minimum.
Yeah. But it's also, I could do 30 minutes on Call and Bobby G's interactions.
Exactly. So we're going to,
not even the characters themselves.
Yeah. We're going to push them out to another cast online. We can dive in on that one. So if you're kind of hoping for that here, sorry. Next week, though, we're going to dive into a faction that I have a love-hate relationship with, which is the Adeptus Sororitas, mostly because I love them as a faction. I find incredible plot holes in their lore, and you're going to hear about
it.
Yeah. So
it's short up.
Until then, this has been John Barsotti and Brad Chester.
This guy.
See you next week.